And hope all is going well with you, my friends. Pray that this service would be a blessing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that this assembly would be well-pleasing in His sight. I'm so thankful that you've made it out today to praise the Lord. This is, of course, the last day of this calendar year, but another day that God hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. And what a blessing to serve the Lord. I trust all who are here are saved, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And title of this morning's message, The Gift from God. The Gift from God. I was intentional with the title. Typically, I would say The Gift of God. And they're both good, but have a little different emphasis. The Gift of God emphasizes how perfect the gift is. Of course, Jesus Christ is the gift. Salvation is the gift, and that's a blessing. But I also want to emphasize the giver today in the message, so the gift from God. And it kind of got me thinking, ever give a present to anyone, you know, and you took a lot of time to think it over, you know, what would they care for, what would they like, and maybe it was a great monetary price, and so you kind of save up for it, you know, and you wrapped it up nicely, and you gave the gift to them, and then they didn't quite care for it. You know, when they kind of got it, okay, sure. Now, they received it. They didn't reject it. They did receive it. But then they kind of just put it in the corner somewhere, you know, and and then you catch, you know, before they close the closet, you know, they put it in the closet and they close it. Hey, thanks a lot for this gift. And they close. And before they close the closet, you catch a glimpse. That was, there's a whole pile of gifts that you've given it all right there. And like, Or you ever given a gift to someone and then they don't quite use it? Like, hey, I gave you that new snowblower. You're still using your old one. Oh, yeah. Is it Taro? Taro? You know, I'm a John Deere. You know, maybe brand preference. Or maybe you gave a gift to someone and they didn't quite care for it, didn't quite use it, didn't quite like it. Again, they received it, so they didn't reject it. But they just don't use it. You know, how does it make you feel? How has it made me feel? Maybe a little hurt, disappointed, grieved. Maybe if I was caught up in my pride, I'll feel insulted. You know, why do you ever do that? Oh, you know, why did I give it to you and not even using it? You didn't care for it. And then I flip the situation and I think, how many times have I gotten a gift from someone? Likewise, I didn't reject it. I did receive it. And to not hurt their feelings, I looked them in the eye. I smiled. I said, thank you. And then I said, I love this so much. Can't believe you got this for me. And then when they leave, I'm like, okay, down here, kick it in there. Okay. And then it got me thinking, I might be able to do that and get away with that for people, because people are not omniscient and they don't know everything. They only know what, you know, we show, right? But there is one above, God Almighty, who has given me the greatest gift of all. And He sees my heart. And He knows. And maybe by God's grace, we did receive it. Please don't reject it. That's way worse. Okay, if you've rejected the gift of Jesus Christ, if you've rejected the gift of salvation, it's free to us, but it costs Jesus Christ everything. If you rejected God's gift, please repent of your rejection. Repent of your sin. Repent of yourself and trust Jesus Christ. God gives the grace. He only saves us by His grace through Jesus Christ. But you only receive God's grace by faith. It is amazing grace and it's amazing faith. It takes both. God gives the grace. You receive it by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so God has given us this gift of Jesus Christ, our salvation. And so please don't reject it. But if you receive it, hallelujah, praise God. But like any gift that I have received, as any gift as you have received, we can all use those gifts in varying degrees. May we use it, our salvation. May we work it out. The amazing thing about the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, is that it's a living gift. It never goes out of style. It never gets obsolete. It never runs out. is a perpetual, forever gift. The gift of salvation puts us into a relationship with God the Father. The gift of salvation reconciles us to God so that we have a relationship with God. Work out that relationship. Strengthen that relationship. Grow that relationship. The gift of Jesus Christ, through Him we are born again as a babe in Christ. Don't just stay a babe. You know, it'd be something kind of weird if you gift, you know, you get a puppy from someone for Christmas, you know. Ah, cute puppy, all right. And then next year the family visits again. Hey, how's your dog? How big is he growing? Well, he's still a puppy. Like, what would we think? Wait, man, what's wrong with that? why is it not growing? And so our relationship with God ought to be growing. This is kind of a good New Year's message, because 2024, hey, that's, I like, you know, the hot wings like the next person. Okay, going to have some tonight. But 2024, this new year, may our relationship with the Lord be closer this year than last year. May our relationship this year have been stronger than 2022, right? I mean, every day, every week, every moment that God gives us, may we use the gift of eternal life. May we be thankful and treasure the gift of salvation. May we cherish the gift of Jesus Christ. Because unlike any other gift, it doesn't stay stagnant. It is a living gift. That when the fellowship and relationship we have with God, may that continue to grow. Amen. You know, it's so heartbreaking, I think, to myself, if I give to someone, hey, you know, this hot sauce is life-changing. You know, you got to try this. You haven't lived till you try this hot sauce. You get taste buds you never knew you had, you know. Or I say, hey, this app, I don't have my phone with me, but hey, this app will change your life. Okay, you'll be twice as efficient as you ever thought you could be, you know. But on a more serious note, hey, friends, this Bible will change your life. This Bible will open your eyes to things and truths you never saw or thought possible. This Bible will give you eternal life. This Bible will give you a relationship with God. This Bible will show you heaven is your eternal home and how to get there. This Bible will reconcile you to God. This Bible will equip you to fulfill all the promises and plans that God has in your life for His glory. Don't just shelve it. Don't just put it away. Don't just let it collect dust. May we use the gift that God has given us. Not just the gift of God, but a gift from God. Because I want us to think today about both the gift, our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, the gift for unto us, a child is given, right? A son is given. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Then Jesus Christ is the perfect gift. But may we consider as well today the giver, capital G, because that's God. God the Father, His feelings. He sees everything. And so what does He see with me? What does He see with you with the gift that He has given us? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. We'll start there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Have we received the gift of salvation? I hope that you have. Follow-up question to that. Are you working it out? Are you exercising it? Are you using it? Or are we saved for nothing? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go to verse 10. We'll start there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. The Word of God says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let us pray. Abba, Father, we thank You for this Lord's Day Sunday. We thank You for this last day of the year. And Father, we're so thankful for every day that You give us. And even the day is a gift. May I not squander this gift. May I take the time in each day that You've given every one of us equally to praise You, to thank You, to worship You, to do Your work, not my own vanity and my own pride, but to humble myself, to be thankful, to joy in You. And so, Father, we ask even today that this time that You've given us, again, this gift of this service, the privilege that we can assemble safely within these walls. I pray, Father, we don't take it for granted, that we use it to truly worship You, Father. Help me, my family, all who are here to have our hearts tuned to You. Hide me behind the cross, Father. May I not be a hindrance to anyone from hearing Your perfect word. through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, minister the hearts, please. We need thee. May we worship in spirit and in truth. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. May I truly enjoy preaching God's word, but pray for me, friends, because I don't want to interfere with the message that God would have me to say. I pray that God would hide me behind a cross. You know, sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. I wish I can be like this so my kids don't see me. They can just hear by God's grace the word of God, because I don't want anyone to say, oh, that's just wing talking. That's just dad speaking. It's my heart. I want God to use me. I want us to hear from heaven on high. God loves us. God loves us, my friends. And what are we doing with the gift that God has given us? Number one, God has given us many gifts. I'm going to focus on three today. The first one is our salvation. Our salvation, of course, to Jesus Christ. Our salvation is the gift of God to us. Our salvation is a gift to us from God. And I want us to consider not just this wonderful gift that we have, but I want us to consider our loving Father who gave us this gift, because our gift of salvation is unlike any gift in the world. It transforms us from a child of wrath into a child of God. It puts us into the family of God so that we can have a relationship with God. It is a living gift that keeps on growing. And so my question to you, friends, and myself too, I'm preaching to myself. It's 2023. How is my relationship with God from last year? It's been a whole year to now. Has it grown? Am I closer with the Lord? Am I stronger in my faith? Don't take our relationship with God, this wonderful gift that we have through salvation, and stash it away. Use it. Grow it. Treasure it. God wants us to do something. In fact, look at verse 10. That's our main verse. And we're going to go see how far we're going to get to verse 11. But slow and steady, we'll go, you know, precept upon precept, line upon line. As every man has received, past tense. So the idea is we already have this gift, okay? But what do we do with it? Don't stash it away. Don't hide it away. Don't hoard it. Okay, it says, even so minister the same one to another. Speaking about God's grace, okay? But certainly salvation is the epitome of God's grace, as good stewards. So when we are saved, when we first receive the gift of salvation, we are born again as a child of God, as a babe in Christ. When it doesn't matter how old we are, you could be saved as a teenager, you could be saved as a grandpa. When you're born again, just like the physical birth, we're born again a baby. In this case, a spiritual child of God, as a baby Christian. Now, God doesn't want us to stay as a baby Christian. He wants us to, at some point, mature and grow into not just a steward, or a worker, or a soldier. Steward is someone that administers, his master's goods. But a good steward, okay? Not just an average steward, not just a lukewarm steward, not just a steward that's always, you know, slacking on the job and doing my own thing on company time, okay? But a good steward, okay? So to grow and mature from a babe in Christ to a good steward. This is what God wants us to do with our relationship with Him. Here's an example of course, Christmas is in the air, you know, the Christmas spirit. This is the testimony of baby Jesus growing. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And this is pretty amazing. It shows how baby Jesus grew as a child. And may this represent us. What a testimony. We can say, hey, that's how I grew as a Christian. Well, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Let's go to verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, speaking about how baby Jesus grew. The application that we are drawing is, if you're saved, anyone that's saved, we all start off at the same point. We end at different points, but we all start off at the same point as a babe in Christ, baby Christians. When I first got saved, my friends, I didn't know job from palms, okay? Silence for the laughter. No, okay, no, that's, but truly, I didn't know the Bible, where it was, what it was, but I knew it was the Word of God. But I praise God for His goodness to me. But how we grow as a Christian, let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the Word of God says, and the child grew. That's baby Jesus. And waxed strong in spirit. Became mature. A strong spirit, able to bear burdens. Not a spiritual pushover. Not a spiritual dependent. but a spiritual, not as an independent, we're always dependent on God, okay? But someone who is spiritually strong, okay? Where is my spirit? How strong is our spirit? Do I easily get discouraged? Or do I have a wholesome, robust spirit that's strong with God? Filled with wisdom. That is an amazing testimony as Jesus grew. May this be our challenge and our what we aspire to as Christians as we grow, filled with wisdom, not just understanding and knowing what God's wisdom is versus the world's wisdom, but true wisdom is evidenced by obedience. When you look through the whole book of Proverbs, even just one, Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Hear meaning heed and obey. In other words, it's not good enough to know what the Bible says is wisdom. If we have true wisdom, we will not just know what the Bible says, we will do what the Bible says. If we are doers of the word, not just hearers, then we are wise. So knowing what to answer on the Scantron sheet, that is, well, that's good, okay, but that's just half the battle. The full wisdom of a man, the full worth of a Christian is in our obedience. If we truly do what the Word of God says, then we are considered full of wisdom. Jesus Christ didn't just know what God the Father said. He did what God the Father said. Amen. So he grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. In fact, the manifold grace of God. That's how Jesus Christ could fulfill 1 Peter 4:10, when he could minister to others, right? As a good steward, doing what God wants him to do. And so filled with the wisdom of God, God's grace upon us. Am I growing in my walk with the Lord just as Jesus here? In fact, not just the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go back one chapter, this is his cousin, John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1 and then verse 80. I don't get to say verse 80 very often, but it's the last verse of chapter 1 of Luke. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 80. And the child grew. This is John the Baptist. Now, what happened when he grew? This is almost very similar. And waxed strong in spirit. Same thing. He had a strong, healthy, robust spirit. Won't that be a blessing that it takes Satan time and time and time again and attempt and attempt and attempt, attack and attack and attack to get us down? Because our spirit is strong. Don't be a spiritual pushover that Satan just needs to just throws one banana peel and he slips me up. Now I'm not saying that it's in our own pride and self, but our strength is in the Lord. It's our spirit that's strong, not our flesh. Our spirit that is strong. In fact, our flesh is babes, but our spirits are adults, right? Spirits are soldiers, to be a spiritual warrior. Not a young recruit or tenderfoot, but to be a spiritual giant for the Lord. Look at John's testimony. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. When he was ready, God said, all right, John, let's go. Let's do it. And so when John came on the scene as a mighty man of God, everyone knew that he was a prophet of God. There was no mistake in it. Everyone knew, right? And they knew he spoke God's word. It's because he was ready. It's because his spirit was strong. It's because he had grown in his relationship with the Lord. He had grown strong to the Lord. Can I ask you today, my friends? Salvation is a gift that God has given us. Puts us into a relationship with God. Have I used that gift? Where is it? Take it out. I mean, you're saved now, we're saved forever. Okay, I'm not talking about someone that rejected a gift. They did receive it. But how much do I use this gift that I've received? So number one, salvation is God's gift to us. What have I done with it? Number two, our Bible is a gift from God. Number two, our Bible is a gift from God. Let's go back to 1 Peter 4. Let's go back to 1 Peter 4. We'll keep going. 1 Peter 4. First Peter chapter 4. We read verse 10. Now let's go to verse 11. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. I'm just going to read the first third, if you will, of that verse for now. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17, and he said to the Father, I have given them thy word. Jesus is confessing to the Father that he has given his disciples his Father's word. Your scriptures that you hold in your hand, this is a gift from God to us. What am I doing with that gift? If any man speak, let him speak whatever he wants. No, it says let him speak as the oracles of God. The word oracle literally means voice of or the utterance of. So when I speak, may I speak the voice of God. And voice not meaning low voice, baritone voice. Voice meaning words of God. Okay, when we speak, may we speak the words of God. And so I got me thinking, wow, now who's an example of an oracle in the Bible? Well, not just prophets, certain those would count. But let's go to Acts chapter 7. This is Stephen preaching, but he's preaching about Moses. And so Acts chapter 7, turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Here's a good example of one that spoke as the oracles of God. Acts chapter 7. Right before Stephen gets killed, he preaches this tremendous message, Acts chapter 7. Because this is how Moses spoke, but this is also how God wants us to speak. God gave us his Bible, his word, so that you and I can speak as the oracles of God. So let's go to Acts chapter 7. Let's go to verse 37. We'll start there. Acts 7:37 says, this is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. He's prophesying about Jesus. This is he, Moses, that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers. Speaking about Moses, who received the lively oracles. There's that word oracles, God's word. Moses received the oracles. Just as our main verse says, you know, as every man has received the gift. Okay, so he got it first. You got to have it. You can't give what you don't have. But Moses didn't hoard it. What did he do with the oracles that he received? To give unto us. To give unto us. Now, here's another aha. It's a very humbling truth. Because just because we have received a gift, in this case, the Bible, just because we have received the Bible doesn't mean we automatically obey it. Moses did, and he gave it to Israel, but they didn't obey. Look at verse 39, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying, no thanks. I'd rather go back to what the world is teaching. I'd rather turn on TV or go on my phone or whatever the case is, you know. And so it's just rejecting God's word, going back to what Egypt would provide. That's the world. So just because God gave us his Bible, his word, doesn't automatically mean that I obey it. Not just that, but just because the Bible was committed to us doesn't mean that we automatically believe it either. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, one book over. Romans chapter 3. Look at what it says here about the oracles of God. Romans chapter 3. Again, this is using Israel as the example, but certainly applies to all of us as Christians. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Of course, you're saved through faith, not of works. And so Paul is anticipating the Jews, or the question on behalf of the Jews. So what's the point of being Jewish? Well, here's a blessing. Much every way, chiefly because unto them, that's the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, were committed the oracles of God. Moses gave it to them. Other prophets committed it to them. But just like the Israelites, just because the gift of God's word was given to us, doesn't mean that we obey it, doesn't mean that we believe it automatically. Look at verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? The idea is, of course, they had it, but they didn't believe it. And not just that, but just because the Bible was given to us or was taught to us, doesn't mean that we automatically learn it. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter, oh, I'm sorry, verse 11, but chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, and then verse 11. Speaking about oracles of God, same context here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Now, these are believers. These are Messianic Jews, if you will. These are Christians. But the Word of God says of them, of whom we have many things to say and heart to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And so the writer to the Hebrew Christians, they did not reject the gift of God, they received it, but they haven't been using it much. And just because God's word is taught to us doesn't mean that we automatically learn it. We have to choose to learn it, choose to obey by faith. Amen. But here is as though, okay, you guys have been in school for 12 years now. You're graduating from 12th grade. I can use your help in teaching some first grade curriculum. And then the students go, actually, I haven't passed my first grade test. Like, what? I have all these curriculum for you, are you still back at first grade? Because that's basically what is being said here. There's greater biblical truths I need to share with you. But you need me to go over again with you the first principles. You can think of it at first grade. The first principles are the oracles of God, the basics. How am I saved again? Jesus Christ saved you. Oh, yeah. I mean, you should have this down pat. Okay, I mean, this is the whole point. And it says, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. I come in with a prime rib roast. We had 10 pounds of it for Christmas. Okay, anyway, but, you know, come in with a prime rib roast. And the guests go, I'm still on formula. Right? Oh, I got all this, you know, well, no, I just like milk. Milk is good, but so is the meat of the word. And the Bible says those that can only use the milk is unskilled in the word, for he is a babe in Christ. Our Bible is a gift to us from God. How have I grown with the Bible? How have I learned to use my sword, the sword of the Spirit? As we grow with our gift of salvation and of the Holy Scriptures, may we be better used of God in this capacity. So point number three, this leads me to point number three. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, but we're going to move down to verse 11, the part that we kind of left off at. So let's go to 1 Peter back to chapter 4 and then verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's the gift of the Bible to us. But then, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So point number three, our abilities are a gift from God. Our abilities are a gift from God. That's our talents, certainly our spiritual gifts. Amen. That's our strengths, our skills, even our vocation. Basically, everything that makes me up, okay? if you want to summarize yourself on a stat card, or if you became a trading card, okay, and you got your name on there, and hey, this is the Wing Liu 2024 trading card. I got it right here. And that's a good picture of me on the front, okay? Then you flip behind the card, all my stats are there, you know, 6'2", yeah, no, not really, okay? And then you got all my stats there, and then you get down to my skill sets, and then there's a ranking system. Yeah, hey, look at this, Bible knowledge. Oh, he ranks it. Oh, and where do we rank? But all our abilities, all our skills, our traits, our vocation, okay, our job, our calling, our career, all of what we are made up is a gift from God. But what's the purpose of these abilities? Are these abilities to be self-serving? Hang on. If any man, what's that word? Minister. That means serve others. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God give us. The gift of our abilities God gave to us is so that we can minister to others. Not to be self-serving. God made me so smart, I'm going to get a good job so I can be rich. That's not why he gave you the brains. Okay, I mean, I just put it in perspective. Okay, Paul's testimony. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. This is Paul speaking. Of course, Paul was quite a wealthy man. I mean, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Very established. Certainly very brilliant scholar. Very smart. But let's see what he says here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go to verse 6. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. And this is what Paul says about himself and his ministry, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Now, that's great for us Gentiles. Amen. If you're a Gentile, say amen, because God's gospel includes us. Okay, but, again, back in the Bible days and in Paul's days, Gentiles and Jews didn't quite get along. Okay, Gentiles kept to themselves. Jews kept to themselves. They didn't kind of interact. And it was pretty groundbreaking that Paul, his whole life and purpose is to be a blessing to the Gentiles, okay? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews. Like, what? Really? Yes, really. God loves Jews and Gentiles. There is no difference. We're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. Okay, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So, speaking about the gospel, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. The ability that God gave me was to be a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And so God's gift to Paul of salvation, and then everything else, the whole package, the abilities that whoever he is, Paul is a gift of God so that he could be a minister to the Gentiles. Not to be self-serving. Now we might say, well, that's just Paul. Yes, that is Paul. But Peter's writing to any believer. In fact, anyone can minister to others and serve God by serving others because everyone has received their abilities as a gift from God. Even, here's a good example, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Same book, one chapter over. Let's go to verse 28. Even a thief can minister. Ephesians chapter 4, let's go to verse 28. Here's an example. Even a crook, because everyone has received their abilities as a gift from God. And just like any gift, what am I doing with this gift that God has given us? Let him that stole steal no more. Obviously, stop sinning. Okay, but even then, but rather let him labor. Look at this. Working with his hand, that's his vocation, which is also a gift. The thing which is good. Don't miss this. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God, right? Jesus is saying he is God because he was called good master. Jesus also said, I am the good shepherd. Okay, so Jesus is saying he's God. But yes, God is the only one that's good. The rest of us are bad, okay? But if I do God's will in my life, with my hands, I can work the things that are good because I'm doing God's will, okay? Working with his hands, that's our vocation, the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to give, that's minister, that's serving, to him that needeth. My abilities, your abilities, are a gift from God so that you can be a blessing to others. This is God's desire. That's amazing. The purpose of our vocation is to bless others, to be used of God. Our salvation is a gift to us from God. What am I doing with that gift? Our Bible is a gift to us from God. What am I doing with that gift? Don't neglect it. Don't hide our salvation. Don't neglect God's word. Our abilities are a gift to us from God. Don't be selfish with it. When we use our gifts the way that God wants us to use them, then we are good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so this is what happens when we are good stewards. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, back to verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. When we do all that, when it all clicks, when we use and treasure the gifts that God has given us, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow, that's amazing. When I use the gifts that God has given me, when you use the gifts that God has given you, you glorify God. When someone says, oh, wow, that's a really nice car. Where'd you get that? Oh, my father gave it to me. Oh, what a nice dad you have. my dad will never do that. Or if you get a car but never drive it, then the father that gave it to you will never get the praise for it. You know what I'm saying? As we use the gift that God gives us, glorify God. By the way, still a couple more minutes, maybe not, but I'm going to sneak it in anyway. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. I want to just encourage you with this. This is bonus. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, speaking about God's gifts, God's callings, they are without repentance. That's wonderful. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 11. Because I need to hear this. Verse 28. Romans chapter 11, verse 28. Okay, so here's the context. Paul understands he is no stranger to oppression and persecution because the ones that are hunting him like a dog are his own people, the Jews, right? So Paul is preaching the gospel. They want to kill him for it. And so from that standpoint, the enemies of the gospel are the Jews who are unsaved. Okay, so that's on the surface. But Paul is saying here, because people are saying, now what about the Jews? God said they're his chosen people. Isn't God going to just destroy them now that they're anti-gospel? Here's what Paul says. Romans 11, verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they, that's the Jews, the unsaved Jews, are enemies for your sakes. Yes, they are. They're persecuting the Christians. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So what Paul is telling the Roman Christians who are being persecuted by Gentiles and Jews, he's telling them, yes, these Jewish unbelievers, they're enemies of the gospel. I mean, they're anti-Jesus, yes. But God had chosen them back in Genesis to be his chosen people. God is not going to take that back. God has blessed them with abundance. God is not going to take them back. And God is going to restore them one day according to his plan. And so all Israel shall be saved. God is not going to take that back. Why? They are beloved for the Father's sake, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't take back what he gives. Even though Israel now is, they've been anti-God for a long time. Okay, they're anti-Jesus, anti-Paul, anti-gospel, but God has purpose to bless them. They are still his chosen nation. He's not going to disown them. He'll chastise them, but he won't disown them. Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What God has given us, he's not going to take back. When I'm saved now, I'm saved forever. A child of God now, we're a child of God forever. What God has given you, he doesn't say, I gave you all these abilities to serve me, you're not serving me. All right, fine, I'll take it back. And then, what have we got? No. What he gives us, he wants us to repent and glorify him. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That's a wonderful thing, because I need to hear this. Because my friends, so many times I've been given a gift and I neglect it, I put it there. I'm so thankful God doesn't come to me later on and say, you know what, that gift I gave you, you're not using it. This guy could really use it. I'm going to take it from you. No, because it's mine. He gave it to me. He gave it to us. Our salvation is a gift to God, of God, from God. Our Bible is a gift to us from God. Our abilities is a gift to us from God. How are we using our gifts? May we use our gifts to glorify Jesus Christ in 2024. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you that you are so long-suffering. Thank you, Father, that you don't take back, Lord, that we're saved forever. That the gifts and calling of you are without repentance. I hang on to that. I cherish that, Father, that you gave it to me. It might be dusty on a shelf somewhere in the basement or hidden up into an attic, just neglected. But, Father, it's still mine. And so it's mine to use for you. May we today, Father, just make right. Just dust off and shake off that armor of God that we have. I haven't worn it for a while. Might be a little tight at first, but Lord, I need to put it on. May we truly make good and use and work out our salvation. Father, may we desire to seek to know you better this year. To read your word more intimately this year. Not just to know it, but to do it. Therein lies true wisdom. May we have a strong spirit that wax strong from your word. That we are rooted in Christ, not my flesh. So that I can be a spiritual leader to my family, to my wife. I can be an example, not just to the Christian, but an example of the believer. And Father, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed.